back in these chairs and we can worship together, but isn't God wonderful? I just want you to know that we're for you. God is for you. We have great expectations this morning of God speaking into your heart. I want to pray before we get started in the Word. So, Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We declare that your goodness is over us. We declare that your mercy is over us. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing is upon us, it's in us, and your Spirit moves. And Father, as we begin to worship you in the Word, by getting into the Word, we know that your presence and your Word are the same. So Father, we expect to be changed by your Word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to get started. Hang on just a minute. I was supposed to read this card, but I didn't have one up here. I got one now. Hallelujah. We do this every week in church. And so if you want to find this verse, it's in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. But we're not reading it out of the New King James translation. I believe this is the Passion translation. And if you've got it there, just read along with me. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision that you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. I don't know about you, but I believe that. I believe that's true. Glory to God. Hey, before we get into the Word, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate everybody's faithfulness. Even though we're not meeting, people are sending in their tithes and their offerings through the mail and through our app, which is at A New Beginning, AMBFCC app. And you can get that in the App Store, and we have Push Pay on there, and it's just real easy to get involved if you want to give that way. But we're just so encouraged that God has caused you to be faithful, and it's helped us tremendously. So we're excited about that. We're not going backwards, we're going forward during all this time. So in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, I just want to tell you that God is for you, and He's not against you. Listen to this verse and listen carefully. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." The word hope here is not hope like we wish something would happen, but it's expectation. It's an expectation based on a promise. So if God's promised us something, we should expect that it will happen. We're all sitting at home now. We're all, outside of our jobs and outside of our normal routines. But I don't want you to let your expectations slip. In fact, I think if we'll allow God to use this time, we can see that God wants us to raise our expectation level up. And maybe some of us have let expectations slip because of disappointments and different things. But I want you to know today, God has a purpose and a plan for you. And it's our responsibility to find out what God has promised us, and then by faith expect that it's going to happen. And then the only evidence that we need that it's going to happen is that He said it. I want to read this quote to you. And it's Newton's first law of motion. And it states, "An object at rest stays at rest, and an object in motion stays in motion with the same speed in the same direction unless acted upon by an unbalanced force." Now, up until the 1600s, they all believed that wasn't true, that in order to have motion, their force had to put it into motion. But we see now by our satellites and different things in space that this law is absolutely true. So watch this. If we're going to be in motion for God, God will continue to keep us in motion. But if we're going to stand still, then we'll stay still. And God wants us to be moving forward, not moving backwards. He doesn't want us to be at rest from the standpoint we're not doing anything. He wants us to be at rest with Him, but the reality is there some forces that have stopped our motion going forward, and God wants us to take a look at that and get it absolutely out of the way so we can go forward with His plan for our life. I believe God has a plan for you and a plan for me. Glory to God. You know, as I get older, I think, well, you know, maybe I should slow down. Maybe I should stop. Maybe God's done with me. All of those kind of things. But I think that's all garbage. And I think that God wants us to get back to the place where we're believing Him, that we're acting in Him, instead of saying, okay, God, what do I need to do to retire? We need to say, God, what do I need to refire? Where do I need to be so that I can do more for You? In glory to God. You know, you think about if you stay in motion, things can't slip out. Have you ever heard the term centrifugal force? And I've done this before when I was a kid. I got a bucket of water and a rope and started swinging it back and forth. And if you get that thing going fast enough, you can go all the way around without spilling a drop of water. Why? Because centrifugal force is there. But if you slow that down about halfway up, it's going to crash down to the ground because of gravity, and you might get all wet. But I think that's sometimes what we do, is that we back off of intensity with what God wants us to do because of outside circumstances, and we lose what's in the pail. And God wants us to regain that and regain momentum. It's so incredible. God has a plan for us, and we need to stay in motion no matter what force comes against us. And again, His law was that anything in motion stays in motion unless a force outside of that stops it. And we know, like, for instance, if you roll something or throw something up in the air, it's not going to keep going up in the air because the force of gravity is going to bring it down. Now, for us personally and in our lives, I think that there are forces that keep us from going on with God. And God wants us to come back to understanding that, no, I need to be back in my relationship with God full force so that I can keep in perpetual motion going for what He wants me to go for. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, and it's the Great Commission, but I want you to see something here that I think is pretty cool. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Look at that. First of all, in the first verse, there's a force that's setting things in motion. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then He says, go ye therefore. The motion is been put in force or set in forth by the fact that Jesus has all power, and He's delegated that to the church. But the command is to go. It's not to stop. It's not to stay. It's not to rest. It's to go. And if you'll see that Jesus has a message for the church, and that church hasn't changed. We're supposed to go into the world, preach the gospel, take care of people, and do all of the things that God has called us to do, but we have to stay in motion in order to do that. We can't back off. We can't back down. We have to continue to have an expectation when I get up in the morning that God is going to use me in some way to further His kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about us all going out and preaching on the street corner, unless God called you to do that, but I'm talking about even if God's called me to be a parent, then I have to have an expectation that God is going to give me wisdom on how to take care of my kids. If he's called me to be a carpenter, he's going to teach me how to be the best carpenter that I can be. There's got to be an expectation when I'm doing what I'm doing throughout the day that God is with me. And so that's an exciting journey, but it's all based on your expectation of being in relationship with him. Come on, God is good. God is for us. God is with us. There's many more adventures that God has for you if you'll stay in motion with God. If you'll not back off and you'll not back down, but you'll say, listen, I'm going for it. I'm going with God and God is going with me. I'm excited about what he has for me. Listen, I think the most exciting thing that we can do is to lead somebody to Jesus. Do you know that's our commission? Our commission is to tell people about Jesus. I'm not saying you have to be a professional evangelist, but how about your neighbor? How about your friend? And especially at this time, I think people are searching for answers. And I think it's a great time to just remind them of what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to win an argument. You don't have to do any of those things. But why not bring Jesus into your conversation? And when you're talking about your life, you know, it's natural for us to put into our conversations what's important in our lives. And if Jesus is important in your life, then give him glory. How can you give him glory when you're out in the midst of doing what you're doing? Well, if God's blessed you in some way, give him the credit. If you're prospered on your job, give him the credit. If you're more at peace than you used to be, give him the credit. If he's healed your body, give him the credit. If you're out of debt, give him the credit when you're talking about it to other people. You don't have to be obnoxious, but it's a natural thing to do when it's reality. And what is that doing? That's keeping the momentum of his spirit operating through you in your life. What do you expect today? What is your expectancy today? I'm trying to stir you up in your faith to expect more from God today than you had yesterday. And in the midst of this coronavirus, we Christians should never say, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? Listen, we need to continue to say that God is with us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? God is our source. God is our supply. God is the everlasting King who's ruling over our hearts. And we can't get wrapped up into fear in any form or fashion. If the media is trying to put fear on us, turn it off. If you're listening to even Christian things that are trying to bring fear and how bad things are going to get, they may get bad, but if God is with us, we don't have to be in the bad. We can be in the good in the midst of the bad because Jesus is with us in the boat. What I'm talking about this morning is that we've got to get our expectation back on the fact that I have a relationship with God. God is with me. God is for me. God will not let me down. God will never leave me. God has decided that I could be right with him by sending Jesus to die in my place. Glory to God. If that doesn't get you excited, like they say, your wood is dry. Come on, because that's not lighting your fire. I'm telling you, God is good all the time. So what has God put on your heart to do? What has God put on your heart to do? Sometimes we go, what has God called me to do? And we get all wrapped up in, because God has called you to do something. If you're born again and you're in the family of God, he has a call on your life. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he says to walk worthy of that calling. What does that mean? That means stay in step with what God has called you to do. Live right, do all of the things right, but absolutely continue to do what God has called you to do. And some people say, well, I'm not called. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. Well, there's many other callings in the Bible. The ministry of helps is a calling. Hospitality is a calling. Giving is a calling. There's different things, but we have to stay in motion with the calling. In other words, God, I need to be in line. I need to hear from you. What do you want me to be doing today? Because I have an expectation that my calling is going to come forth in a powerful way. I'm so excited today. I'm excited that the next 10 years, 20 years, however many years that we have left, or that God is given to me personally, I'm going to be doing it for Jesus. I just believe that when I first got saved, I said, God, I'll do anything that you want me to do. I'll serve you. I'm so excited that I am in a relationship with you. I have an expectation for you to move. But if I be honest with you, in my daily routine, in my daily going through the motions, and even in ministry, pastoring all of these years, sometimes it's easy to get bogged down because of the forces that are against us. The enemy doesn't want you to succeed. Life happens, man. Tragedies happen. People come, people go, and it can bog you down, and those forces can keep you out of the plan of God for your life and keep you from the potential that you have in God to fulfill his desires for you. Man, I want to get up to heaven, and I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? I don't want to just get to heaven and hear, well, you're done. I want to hear God say, I'm glad that you're here, and I want to thank you for working for me. I want to thank you for... Listen, can you imagine going to the throne of God and God saying to you, thank you for being faithful? Woo, glory to God. I'm excited about that. But why have you stopped? Is there reason for you stopping? Listen, I want to read these verses, and then we'll get into my next thought. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God is so good. He's so faithful. I want to encourage you this morning that if depression is trying to get a hold of you, if being at the house has been too much for you, listen, this thing's going to bust wide open, but I don't want to go back to the same old, especially if our expectations have been diminished or if we have this feeling, well, God might work for somebody else, but he's not going to work for me, that I'm done with my life, I'm just going to coast for the rest of my year. Man, that is stinking thinking. We need to get back into the Word of God, begin to believe the promises of God, and start acting upon them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 8, Paul says this, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our body." In other words, listen, if I'm suffering some things, persecution, lack, whatever that the enemy has brought against me, I'm not going to let that keep me from going. I'm going to die to that and let the life of God be lived through me so that I can bless somebody else. You have neighbors, you have friends, you have people that are watching you, and they want to see Jesus in you, coming through you, so that they can know that they know that there really truly is a God, and there's something different about your life than the world's life, because you have a great hope, you have a calling, but we have to have an expectation that God is going to use us an example to lead people to him. He goes on in verse 11, "For we which are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. We having the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak." Listen, you need to start speaking your expectations rather than your circumstances. You need to start speaking about what God wants to do instead of what you feel like's been done to you. You need to stand up and get up and say, no, bless God, I might be knocked down, but I'm getting up. The Bible talks about, man, I've been knocked down 7 times, but I'm still getting up. The devil, even if he knocks you down, should say, wait a minute, he's getting back up. We just celebrated the resurrection, and think about it for just a second. The devil thought, man, I got him. I got him in the grave. He's dead. But then on the third day, something happened, and he goes, oh, no. Oh, no, Oh no. And it exploded throughout the whole world that the life of Jesus living in believers is absolutely having an effect on the world. We have authority and dominion over him. He cannot control us unless we listen to his lies. And the way that we distinguish his lies from God's truth is that we're in the Word and we're letting the Word speak to us and we're taking the Word as our final authority. And when we see it in the Word, we start believing that God is real, that God means what he said, and therefore we're going to speak what we believe and not necessarily what we see. Come on, we've got to get our mouths back in line with what God's Word has said. What has God promised you? Maybe it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but it hasn't been coming out of your mouth because you thought, well, maybe that wasn't God. Well, maybe it was God, and maybe you need to revisit that and talk to God about that and say, listen, it hasn't happened yet, but I believe it's going to happen. In the book of Hebrews, it's really interesting, because it goes through all of the heroes of faith that we call them. But at the end, it talks about a lot of others that maybe were minor as far as the book goes. But he said some of these died without seeing the results, but they received their results years later. Glory to God. Could you be sowing seed now that's going to be germinated and then come up even after you're in heaven? I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. You might have seen it on Facebook. I think this is really an incredible thing, and I'm not going to do it justice. I probably should have had the clip and played it, but here's the story. Back in the early 1900s, there was a couple of ladies that began to pray on an island off of Scotland, and they began to pray for revival and revival and revival. Well, and again, I'm shortening this, but long story short, a young man got saved in there. His name was Donald something or other. I think it's Campbell, but Donald something. And Donald got so radically saved, started working in it, and his cousin, happened to be a female cousin, was affected by Donald. And Donald, when his cousin moved to America somehow, his cousin moved to America and got married to a man named Fred, and she and Fred had four children, and I believe it was the third son was named Donald, and because he was named Donald, he was given the Bible from that revival that happened, and it was a powerful revival that happened in Scotland. Well, that Bible is sitting on the desk of the President of the United States today, and his name is Donald Trump. But that Bible was born out of revival. Now listen, what I'm telling you is that God is working even through the prayers of the people that have gone on before. The seed that was sown in that man who was named Donald passed it down through his cousin to his cousin's son, and now his son is sitting as President of the United States. I don't know what all that means. I just know that just because you're gone from this place, the trace of who you are does not vanish. You have an effect on people. And I want you to know that God has an expectation for you to fulfill the call that he has put on your life. Come on. If persecution is troubling you, keep going. If imprisonment is, keep going, but begin to continue and don't ever let slip the faith words of expectation coming off of your lips. Listen, Paul kept going even though he was persecuted. Peter kept going even despite his failures. David kept going in spite of his moral failures. Moses, in spite of his excuses, he kept going, and his expectations after God has spoken to him got him to the place where in his life he fulfilled his destiny. Listen, your destiny is not behind you. Your destiny is in front of you. It's not too late. It's never too late. God can turn everything that was meant for evil and turn it for your good. But you have to be in the place where I expect God to use me. I expect God to live for me. You got to keep running your race. Go to Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians in the third chapter. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I hope this is getting inside of you. I hope it's beginning to stir you a little bit. There's some ladies right now in your home, and you're going, boy, I'm just bored. That revival that I was talking about with Donald Trump's Bible was really started by two ladies, and they were in their 80s. And one was blind and one was crippled, but they began to pray and seek God for revival to come to their church, to their town. And in fact, they went up to the pastor and they said, man, are you living right? Because God's going to move here and you better be ready. Because revival, they said, we have an expectation that God is going to answer our prayer. And it was through their prayer that these set of circumstances became into place. So if you're at home today and you're going, well, how could God use me? I can't even go out anywhere. Listen, get back on your knees. Get back into your prayer life. But don't just pray with a hope-so wishing type of prayer. We've got to begin to pray with expectation that God will fulfill what he said he would do. He will do that. Listen, if you got people in your life that are running amok and you know, one time they were with God and now they're not with God, you've got to expect them to come back to God based on his word that he said from the north, the south, the east, and the west, he'd bring his children back home. We know that's been fulfilled in Israel. Well, why not in our lives? Let's have an expectation that God is going to bring back those that were once walking with God but now are shipwrecked. Listen, I'm not going to give up on anybody because I believe that God wants all men to be saved. I believe that God wants all men to be walking with him. So we need to get back into the Word and have an expectation that, listen, this isn't over, and God can use me. I'm in a position to be used. In Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 10. It says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that I might know him. Man, I want to be known by God, but I want to know God. I've been praying that over and over recently. It's just like, God, I want to know you. I've been walking with you for so many years, but I don't know you like I should know you. And it's not your fault. It's because I haven't had the expectation of you revealing yourself to me in a way that I could know that I know that I know. But that expectation is changing. I'm going back to the principles of believing that God wants me to know him. Come on. And Paul said, listen, that I might know him. That's what I want. That's what you want. Glory to God, that I might know him. And verse 11, that if any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if I have apprehended for which Christ I am apprehended of, also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before. We need to be in a place where we're forgetting everything that happened before. Forget about yesterday. Forget about those expectations that maybe ended in disappointment or resentment. Let that go and say, God, I'm up again. I'm up again. Devil, I want you to know, you're going to have a bad day because I'm up and I'm expecting God to use me. And if God uses me, he's going to steal from your kingdom to bring in to his own kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So how do we do that? How do we turn and get our expectations back? Well, there's three things that I want to bring out and then we'll close. Glory to God. Isn't this awesome, man? We can't be together, but yet we're together. The technology is just amazing. Hallelujah. In Psalms, go to the book of Psalms. And most of you know this particular verse, but it's true. But maybe disappointments have kept you from saying it. But in Psalm 37 and verse 4. Oh, this is so good. There's so many things here. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The first step to getting back to having a life full of expectation is we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. What does that mean? God, I love you. God, I'm for you. God, I'm so glad that you love me. God, I just want to acknowledge your presence in my life. God, I just want to delight in you. Lord, I'm so happy to be with you. I'm so happy that Jesus died for my sins. I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of me. I just want to delight myself in you. Glory to God. And it's out of that relationship that he'll reveal your true heart. Glory to God. And that's where your desires will be for the things that he desires for you. And your expectations can be taken to a new level because you're in God and God is in you. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This wasn't in my notes, but I just want you to look at verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighted in his ways. Though he fall, he shall also utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him for his hand. Let me read that again. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young, and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So listen, you're not going to be without, but you've got to get your expectation in your mouth. What has God said? Begin to delight in him. Begin to thank God for everything that he's done for you. Glory to God. Listen, if you didn't eat yesterday, call me and I'll get you some food. But watch this, if you ate something yesterday, you're living in a house, you got clothes that you're wearing, you ought to be rejoicing in, come on, because God has been good to us. Listen, we live in America, man, and we're blessed. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. I was talking to Bishop Frank in Uganda, and they're locked down, but the difference from them being locked down and us being locked down is we've got pantries full of food. We can still go to Costco. Those folks are hungry because they haven't been able to get food. And we need to believe God for this thing to be lifted so that life can get back to them and be praying for deliverance for those folks. But we need to be delighting in the Lord. Now, the second thing that we need to delight in, if you'll go to Psalm 40, Psalm 40 and verse 8. Verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, O God. I think we ought to get up every morning and go to bed every night with his will on our mind. In other words, listen, I want my expectation to go, but God, I want your will and not my will. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, show me what your will is for my life. Now, first of all, if you've got your Bible, you've got a pretty good indication of what his will is, right? There may not be the specific daily routines, but you can know how you're to act during the daily routines by getting into his word and saying, listen, I'm going to delight to know your will. God, I want to know your will. And at the end of the day, say, Lord, if I've done anything that's been outside of your will, please forgive me, bring it to my mind, help me to get over that, God, because I want to be smack dab in the middle of your will. In light with that, go to Romans chapter 12 real quickly, and then we'll get back to this because I think this is important. All of you know, or some of you know these verses, but it doesn't do us any good to know them if we don't have expectation for them to be happening to us today. If we've left them 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, because of circumstances, we need to pick them back up. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's saying that if you'll allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to His Word, then you'll be able to settle once and for all what His will is for you. Glory to God. But I have to delight in knowing His will. All right, the final thing, if you'll go to Psalm 119, it's the longest one in the Bible, glory to God, and every verse has a reference back to His Word, His statutes, His commandments. God is so good, and He's so faithful. But let's just go to one, Psalm 119, and we're going to go to verse 16. Psalm 119 and verse 16, and I'll get there in just a minute. There's so many. If you just read through this particular psalm and begin to meditate on it, it is so cool. Verse 16, it says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." I will delight myself in my statutes. And you could say that this is kind of similar to delighting yourself in His word and knowing His will. But watch this. I'm going to delight myself in doing what you're telling me to do. I'm going to delight. In other words, it's not a drudgery to obey God. It's a delight to obey God. I want to be at the place where I'm waking up in the morning, "Oh Lord, I'm delighted to be able to do your will. You don't want me to lie? Lord, I'm delighted not to lie. You don't want me to steal? Lord, I'm delighted not to steal. Lord, you don't want, come on, whatever it is, I'm delighting myself in keeping your statutes, keeping your word, doing what you want me to do. And Lord, I'm going to begin to say, your will is now my will. I want to be at a place where I'm expecting you to move in my life." Listen, we have to be at the place where God can use us again to affect the people that are around us. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. But listen, He's not doing that for just for you to have things. He's doing that so that you can be a blessing to other people. So get up this morning. Stand up where you're at and just say, "God, I expect you to move in my life. I have an expectation built on your promises that you're going to do what you said you're going to do." Hallelujah. My life isn't over, Lord. In fact, this is the best day of the rest of my life because, God, you're with me and I'm with you. Hallelujah. I hope you got something this morning. I want you to know that Jesus is Lord, and I want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Forgive us, God, for forgetting you. Forgive us, God, for backing off or backing down. And even as you said in the book of Revelation, Lord, some of us have left our first love, and that's our relationship with you. And God, we just want to return to that in full power in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask you to bless every person that's watching this morning or later on. God, I ask you to touch them. And I just want to, God, speak to their heart. If they don't have a relationship with you, draw them to you. Father, we just thank you for meeting all of their needs in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. And listen, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, what do I mean by that? I mean exactly what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those can be yours today. You have to expect that God will fulfill His promises. And if you aren't saved, all you need to do is say, "Lord, I'm calling out to you. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and that God, you raised him from the dead for my justification. I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I have an expectancy, God, that you're going to live your life through me in Jesus' name. God bless you. It's so exciting to be with you this morning. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And remember, God is good all the time. Amen.